This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the USA, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon from London, guys.
Hey, Kenny. Hey, Johnny.
Good afternoon, guys.
So we haven't spoken for a few days. Good to have you back. Let's start with the inevitable question yet again over tariffs, because we've had one eye on today's date for quite some time now, July the 9th, when the deadline was meant to have ended. But of course, with these uncertain times, it's now been extended, the tariff deadline, by President Trump and his administration. And I suppose, Nick, the uncertainty continues.
In some ways, Johnny, you could say the uncertainty continues, but in other ways, you could take a little bit of solace in the idea that this continuing to sort of back down from tariffs from the Trump administration, at least as perceived by the market, could be taken as a positive thing. The reason I say it that way is because if you take a look at the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, they're pretty close to their all-time trading highs. If there were substantial amounts of uncertainty around the tariffs at this point, we'd probably see the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ down. But it seems like the market now is taking a look at the stance and commentary from Trump and his administration and sort of leaning into this idea that, okay, they are way more flexible than they let on initially. In fact, I was actually listening to, at the White House yesterday, there was a press conference with Trump. And when pressed about dates specifically, I'm going to paraphrase here, but it was basically what happened to the dates that you just mentioned, right? The July 9th, these hard deadlines. And then Trump kind of gave an answer that, you know, it was always August 1st, right? And pushing it back to it was always August 1st. And that was welcomed by the market, right? Because that gives the market the perception that, okay, these comments from Trump, they have a lot of bark, but there's not a ton of bite here, right? Of course, I do think that if we don't get deals at some point soon, there probably will be a stronger response from the Trump administration. However, what this sort of signaled to the market is that deals are pending, negotiations are ongoing. And if there was sort of a stance of throw in the towel, nothing's working, tariffs are back on, that would signal to the market, oh, these things are not happening. But it seems like progress is happening with places like Japan and the EU. Of course, these things are still under development and they take time. And so that is kind of the stance, it seems like, of the administration, which is giving, like I said, a little bit of a calming nature to the markets. The VIX is down 4% today, right? So it's down to 16.11. You don't have the level of uncertainty in this market now that you did a couple months ago, where we were sitting at a 60 VIX, where the market was pricing in these massive, massive volatility swings. 16, by the way, that's almost back down to, that's definitely pre-tariff news. And going back to the beginning of the year when things were mostly calm, we're pretty much back to that level of market volatility. Now, critics of this would say that is vastly understating the risks of these tariff deals falling through. But the market is sort of looking at, in terms of stability, they're saying, hey, you know what? Inflation seems to be cooling. The Fed's expected a cut in September. And at the same time, you have company earnings doing quite well in the United States. So in some ways, there is a bit of, we're in a much better circumstance than we were. And in regards to the tariff circumstance, it's sort of a, okay, deals seem to be going okay, at least to the point that we're not upsetting Trump, you know, so he's not sending out social media posts every day threatening other countries. And as long as that doesn't come back again, the market is okay to stay relaxed.
I really liked your analysis, Nick. I think it's very true that the markets are a little bit more calm about what Trump is doing. And as you said, his bark seems to be worse than his bite. Perhaps we're seeing some kind of pricing of his unpredictability. We recall just a couple of weeks ago when he threatened to put tariffs on the EU and then remove them, the markets showed a very sharp reaction, which we're not seeing today. So the market seemed to be more accepting of his delay from today to August 1st. So it just seems that perhaps the general outlook, although tariffs are still a great uncertainty, he's been sending out these letters to a bunch of countries, including Japan, which got the Japanese quite upset because we are in the middle of delicate trade talks with them. But it seems that the markets are perhaps not jumping every time, as you mentioned, Trump sends a tweet or changes his mind. Things seem to have calmed down, as you mentioned.
Having said that, though, guys, we've seen the effect on the price of copper because of these tariffs, because Donald Trump yesterday said that copper entering the US from other countries is going to face a new tax of 50%. So that decision carries through on tariff threats that Trump made earlier this year when he ordered an investigation into how imports of copper were affecting national security. And we're expecting similar probes over other sectors like pharmaceuticals, semiconductors. And now we've got, since this announcement yesterday, copper prices jumping to a record high. So, yes, you're right, guys. In a sense, what we've got is sort of a level of certainty through uncertainty, but then this comes along as an outlier in terms of the price of copper.
Sure, yeah. And if you take a look at copper prices here today, they have come down a little bit from those highs. I mean, it doesn't look like it on the chart, but we have dropped another 5-6% since we tapped into the, as you mentioned, all-time highs, up around 5.88. Huge jump yesterday. And as you mentioned, hitting all-time highs. At one point, we were up over 17% on copper futures in on the day, which is an insane move. And this is not the first time we've seen commodities specifically having such drastic responses to tariffs. They're very sensitive to trade dynamics and imports and exports. And you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking constantly about what was happening with the price of oil. And I think, you know, while we're talking commodities, oil is where you get the concerns around copper. You get a little bit more relaxation when you look at the price of oil, which is back down, right? We didn't get follow through to that big jump up here. So commodities are a very interesting space right now in terms of especially the Trump campaign and the administration there is, you know, watching that price of oil. I mentioned that I listened to his press conference yesterday in which he touted heavily that oil prices were down and that was contributing to his claimed victory on inflation. Though, to be fair, I think that the inflation victory sort of has been sprawled out over the last few years rather than just the last few months. However, oil prices staying low, and from the onset of his administration, we have seen oil prices drop pretty substantially. You know, those are definitely positive inputs to the economy. We know, and this was pointed out by the administration yesterday during said conference, that oil prices, they watch very closely them because they are a direct input, and they're very aware that, of course, that causes all prices, food and you know, goods and services, to be dragged lower when oil prices are kept at bay. So yes, while copper is jumping up, we'll see if that price can stay persistent, or is it going to follow the suit of oil, which freaked out due to the geopolitical tensions happening in the Middle East and has since come back down. Again, we'll have to keep an eye on this. I think it's not just necessarily the spike, but does it sustain itself? Does it continue to push higher from here, in which it could actually get the attention of markets and cause some sort of issues?
Just following up on that, Nick, it seems that perhaps we were a little bit too sanguine about saying that the markets hadn't really reacted to Trump's delay in his tariff deadlines. But of course, as you mentioned, we did see quite a sharp reaction. The Trump effect is still alive and well when it comes to copper. As we said, it hit a record high earlier today. And besides copper, Trump has also threatened up to 200% tariffs on pharmaceuticals in a push to increase U.S. manufacturing, which I guess is debatable if that's going to work. But certainly we could see other countries such as Australia have already reacted with great concern to this pharmaceutical threat of a tariff. And it looks like we'll be seeing other areas besides copper reacting quite sharply to what President Trump is doing.
Meanwhile, over the last 24 hours, we've heard from two of the world's central banks, the RBA and the RBNZ. And Kenny, I think what was surprising with the Australian central bank yesterday was how they held rates when many had predicted a cut.
That's correct, Johnny. The RBA decision to hold rates was really nothing less than a shock. I was reading a day before from a previous very senior official of the RBA who said there's absolutely no reason for the Australian Central Bank to wait until August yet to cut rates. Yet that is exactly what they have done. We're seeing that central banks in general, Johnny, are having a lot of challenges as far as how to deal with the uncertain, turbulent trade and tariff landscape, mostly sticking to a wait-and-see attitude to see how things are going to develop. But the RBA had been expected, as we mentioned, to lower rates. So there was about a 97% chance in the markets. So it was a virtual shoe-in, but they caught the markets by surprise and held rates. Again, they may decide to lower rates in August, but they will have another inflation report to look at. Inflation has generally been good, but the RBA would like to see it go a bit lower. And I think if the next report shows inflation moving towards 2%, that we will see a cut in August. As far as the New Zealand Central Bank, there was no surprise. They held rates, but what was significant was it was the first time they haven't cut rates in 6 months. Since last August, they've cut 225 basis points. So after a very aggressive rate hike cycle, we've seen a very aggressive lowering of rates. Despite that, the New Zealand economy is still sputtering, tipped into a recession last year, and certainly the difficult economic climate, drop in export demand for New Zealand, which is obviously a very export-reliant country, has not helped the economy. The RBNZ did hold rates, but they were very clear signal that they plan to continue lowering rates before the end of the year, assuming that inflation does go down. They are looking at inflation to go slightly higher in the next few months, but then start to lower again. So if their forecasts for inflation and growth are met, we should be seeing another rate cut, perhaps in the next few months, from the New Zealand Central Bank.
Excellent stuff. Very interesting. Thank you, Kenny. And thank you, Nick. We will speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Kenny.
Okay, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.